Hey guys, this is Ryan Groh with Lifeway Films, and recently I had the pleasure of watching Someone Like You, which is a film by Karen Kingsbury, and I was blown away. This film really illustrated some beautiful concepts that are really packaged in a gospel-centric framework. You're going to walk out of the theater feeling good, encouraged in your faith, and really this movie helps provide a framework for forgiveness and walking through tough times. So if you get a chance, I would encourage you, go to someonelikeyou.movie, and while you're there, sign up for Karen's A-List. You can purchase tickets, learn more about the movie, see the trailer. That's someonelikeyou.movie. I think you'll really enjoy this film.
Okay, well, welcome back to the show. I am so thankful for you. You have been telling your friends, and this podcast has been growing week after week. It is incredible. And now here we are, March 12th, and truly just, I think, 3 weeks away from the release of our movie, Someone Like You, which will be opening in theaters April 2nd in the United States and in Canada. And I'm just so thrilled about that. So last week, we had a very special friend of mine, Candace Cameron Bray, and her daughter, Natasha, and my daughter, Kelsey, on the show. And we talked about mother-daughter relationships. And not just that, we talked about family and how families stay close when we communicate and when we allow ourselves the space to be able to go deep with things that are bothering us or troubling us or things that we're happy about, that we listen to each other. That was a super special show. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, go ahead and go do that. And like I said, I've told 1,000 stories, but I've never told mine until this podcast. So thanks for taking the journey with me and listening and watching. And tell your friends, go ahead and like and subscribe, because that's the way you'll know when my next episode comes out. And on this show, I have the privilege of bringing back my daughter, my best friend, Kelsey Capecchi. Hi, Kels.
Hi. Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you for having me on again. This has been so fun.
Well, you know, today we're going to talk about miracles. And miracles are, a very special part of our family. I feel like God has given us these moments that become stage stories that, as I've gone around and spoken around the country, that, you know, God has given us true things that I can talk about that actually reveal a bit of our family, heartache and hope, and also the power of prayer in our lives. Mm. I don't think there's anyone better than you that has been ringside, front row to so many of those moments, and how Rod Stewart and miracles go together in our family, which is something we'll talk about later. You know, one of the things I love to share from the stage, and you have, I think, been with me through probably 90% of my time on the road from, 15 years ago. How old were you when we started touring together?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
So I was 16 or 15, almost 16, and those were amazing times, and we still have those amazing times. Getting to travel together and watch you go on stage and share stories and meet with different readers and meet new friends. And God has really given us a lot of miracles throughout, just even, I guess some could say silly ones, whether it's like travel or missing a bag or catching an airplane, but then to really, really deep divine miracle moments. And we have, we had this very special, like unique me growing up watching you do this and cheering you on, and then also getting on stage and speaking myself. And we just have been in this together. Traveling together since I was 16. It's been very special.
Yeah, and you don't look much older now, but that was a few years ago. You never age.
I am in my 30s now, but thank you.
Yeah, and four little boys, like we've talked about on the show, but it is, I think when we were on the road, it was, so say we would leave on a Friday and maybe get back on a Sunday, depended. When we lived in the Northwest, we had more time of travel. It took longer to get to the places until we moved to Nashville. But to me, it was like, sure, you know, it was a beautiful chance to share with readers and to talk to, 15,000 people or 2,000 or whatever it would be. But I feel like most of the time was spent with me and you, getting a coffee together and hearing the deep stories of your heart. Because you're such a deep thinker and a deep lover. And, I would never have said yes to those events if I didn't have you. It's so special to have you on the road with me. And I think people say, how do you balance?
Karen Kingsbury's movie Someone Like You opens April 2nd in theaters across the U.S. and Canada. Based on Karen's popular novel by the same name, Someone Like You is a beautiful, redemptive love story that the media has called one of the most anticipated films of 2024. After losing his best friend London, architect Dawson Gage launches into an impossible search for his friend's twin sister, twins separated as embryos. The film is a beautiful love story that illustrates pain and redemption through a gospel-centric narrative. Someone Like You opens in theaters everywhere on April 2nd. Visit someonelikeyou.movie to sign up for Karen's A-list, purchase tickets, or learn more about the movie. Again, that's someonelikeyou.movie.
I wanted to talk about one story that happened. It's not necessarily a miracle story, but it shows your love for me in my role as an author. You know, at one point Tyler said to me, gosh, Mom, when I'm older, I want to, you know, direct movies and maybe I'll sing and, you know, perform, but I want to write books like you do. I want to do that in my spare time like you do. And it always was like such a, like the best compliment because it made it, it was proof that I was living out the way that I knew God wanted me to, which was that the career part of it was just a small part of it, that you didn't all see me as somebody who was always gone, always on the road or always writing, but Mom. And I got to just be Mom when I was on the road. Sure, like I say, you know, for an hour I'd be up on stage or for a couple hours signing books and meeting sweet readers. But otherwise it was just time for me and you. And I would never have been able to do it alone because I would have been like, I would have cried the whole time. I would have thought, you know, I'm missing out too much. And you know, the boys, they would send videos of their games that if we missed a game day or something. Yeah. But thankfully, they had Dad and they had each other. And so for those weekends when we wouldn't be home, which, you know, was maybe once a month or twice. It wasn't like it was all the time. But wow, was that ever special time for me and you.
So special.
And I remember, you remember that time when you came downstairs? I still was getting just enough email that I could see all the email. It was before I needed like more of a team or whatever behind me. And I was up earlier than everyone else. It was a Saturday morning and I was set to go pick up a tux with Tyler for a dance he had. And there I am and I'm at my laptop, or it was desktop, I guess, at that point. And there was an email that had come in, and the email said, and this is just like we talked last week with Candace and Natasha about how, you know, when you have a high platform, people will throw rocks, and they do sometimes do that. And we're blessed that we keep our eyes on Jesus and we keep moving ahead. But on this particular day, the email subject line said, Kingsbury fan no more. And I had just read this woman's letter. It was a scathing letter. And her letter said, now that you have gotten so successful, I know that you have rejected your family and you have left them behind, and you are the worst example of a mother and the worst example of a Christian. I was like, wow. And I didn't, you know, my dad had taught me long ago, like, don't let an entire glass of clear, beautiful drops of water be spoiled by one drop of blue, you know, whatever color. But it was hitting me. And I was just wiping tears off my cheeks. Like, I felt so defeated. And you walked downstairs, you had just gotten up, and it was, you know, still early, like 8 in the morning. And you saw me crying, and you put your arm around my shoulders, and you gave me a hug. You said, what's wrong? You know, and I showed you the letter. And it was not much longer, but Tyler came bouncing downstairs, and Tyler and I had to leave. And you were just mad at that woman. So what did you do?
Honestly.
You're like, what, and 15 probably at that point.
Yeah. And I still just wow, our words, they matter, right? They matter when we're in a bad mood. They matter when we're in a good mood. And if our words can be rooted in Jesus, that is where we find that we can spread joy, where we can spread kindness, love. Certainly none of those things were in that email, right? So I'm reading this. You left with Ty, exactly. And I'm reading this and I'm like, I'm so mad at this person that I just have to write them a letter back. And so I just start typing away. I'm like, my mom works so hard, yes, but she puts our family first. She goes to our practices, to my dance recitals. We get to travel together. She's doing all of this in the name of Jesus. So no, she's not perfect, but she's writing books for the glory of God. And I'm just like typing all of this stuff. And here's where it's like fuzzy. I don't remember. Did I hit send or was I like "Mom, read this," or did I send it to her? I feel like I had to send it. I'm going to send it.
I mean, You sent it. You didn't even look back. You just sent it. And so I get home, you know, and I'm fine. I'm happy. And I've moved on from that. I get home with Tyler and the tux. We set it aside. And you said, and you were just kind of like, had this like sort of look. And you said, maybe you should check your email.
Yeah, so maybe you should check like your sent box.
Maybe you should check it. So I checked it. And I tell you, I wish I would have framed it, because you so beautifully and, you know, feisty, yes. But you were adamant, like you defended me to the ground. That I was doing the best I could to put my family first and to put God first. And just God gave me the gift to write very quickly. I can write a novel in a couple weeks. And so between that and then the traveling with you, you know, it really, we had a beautiful pattern in our family. And it didn't feel like something that was, you know, it felt like it was a very out of place letter for this woman to say this. And you had written this incredibly passionate response back to her. And by the time I found it, she had written again, and she said, "Now I know you're a terrible mother, because look at how rude your daughter is." Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe it.
It's crazy.
I remember I just hugged you, and you hugged me, and I said, "Look, let's be thankful. She's not our neighbor.
Yeah.
She's not our relative. Like, we don't have to see her at Thanksgiving," you know?
Yeah.
But truly, you know, a big part of my story that I don't really ever talk about is what it was like to raise a family and stay in a very beautifully happy marriage and have, you know, be writing 70 books and traveling and speaking and that kind of thing. But my favorite story to share on the road, of course, is I'll often say, you know, you have just one life. Like, this is not a dress rehearsal. And you have one chance to write the story of your life. And that when people are gathered around at my memorial service, I don't want them to be saying, "Wow, Mom, phew, she wrote a lot of books. You know, she made a movie. She had, you know, the award," whatever it was. I don't want that to be the conversation at all. But I want people to be saying, "Mom wrote a bestseller with the days of her life." And, you know, we've learned along the way, you and me and your brothers and dad, we've learned along the way that to do that, and I share this from stage, is to, there's four sort of points that I will always remember when it comes to writing a bestseller with the days of my life. And the one is to love well, that we don't get to choose the cast of characters in our story at every turn. Some we do, but a lot we don't. Our coworkers, you know, family members, sometimes we don't choose it. God chooses those people, and he wants us to love them anyway. No matter what kind of people they are in our life, we love them and don't give up on them, because, you know, they, like my brother Dave, and I've talked about that, but like, they may come around and everything is different because you didn't give up. So love well, laugh often. And, you know, we talk about our funny stories and our family and how we always say we're going to laugh about it later. Like, you know, me with the turtle, walking the baby turtle.
it like so beautifully goes hand in hand with, you can't take yourself too seriously. Life is already really serious, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's already a lot of hurt or brokenness or, you know, family stuff that maybe you can't solve or that you can't choose. And something so beautiful that you always share from stage, but you and Dad just like live out, is like, don't take yourself too seriously and make sure to laugh through life. And we definitely do that. And you with the turtles, it's like, it is like the funniest story. I don't know if you want to share it, but.
Well, I'll share it real quick. We just, you know, we had found these little turtles that were near the pond. They didn't have any mother, and they were like the size of a silver dollar. They were just babies.
So cute.
We were caring for them, and I'd put them in this like baby bathtub and had made a little hill for them and was, you know, but you really, it's not enough space to walk. So I thought about every day or so, I just needed to take the turtles for a little walk. And unfortunately,
like
they were the
do.
Same. Like as you do, you know, you take your baby turtles for a walk, but there's no leash, you know, involved in this process. But you have like, you know, the turtles are the same color as the grass. So you go outside and you set the turtles down, and now you don't want to lose the turtles.
Yeah.
So you just stand there and you stare straight down. So anybody driving by or any neighbor that might, you know, be looking out their window would see me just standing in the yard, just staring straight down grass, like looking at these baby turtles. And then I might take one, like after a minute or two, like one sidestep. That's about how far they would walk in 5 minutes. And then finally, you know, I would pick them up and take them back inside. Well, I was in this sort of place and I was wearing the clothes I'd worn to church. So here I am. Like, I don't look like I'm working out, or like there's no logical understanding why a woman dressed for church is standing in the middle of her yard, staring straight down at the grass. And our brand new neighbors moved in that day. And who knew? But they were coming in that day. So their moving van pulls up and they get out with boxes of things. And they look over and I want to be friendly. So I look up and I wave very fast because I absolutely cannot lose my turtles. So like I look up, I give a quick wave, and then I'm right back down, straight down, like my head completely, like my chin against my chest, looking straight down at the ground. And this went on a couple times and I'm trying to explain it. And then I finally pick up the turtles. I'm going to explain the situation and introduce myself. And I step into what felt like a canyon in the grass. And literally my ankle popped and turned and I fall like timber, like just all the way over. Yes. And I protected the turtles, so they were okay. And then I wound up, you know, like almost like I'm on my side with my elbow out, like I'm relaxing, reclining on the grass.
Like you're at the beach.
Like just,
hey guys,
lazing
welcome
back
to the neighborhood.
Yeah, just yeah. My, you know. And so they walked around the corner again, and now I'm my ankle's absolutely sprained, you know, so I can't just pop up, and I just wave again. So now they've seen me in every, like they definitely would have thought, oh, cool, we're moving into next door to somebody who's got some real issues. But, you know, and I told them, of
you
course.
You explained yourself to them, and they are so sweet. And they're still your neighbors. You were able to save the turtles.
I saved the turtles, and their daughters now, which are just these, the two beautiful girls, Reagan and Jensen, they're in our movie.
Yes.
They're in Someone Like You, and great. We'll have to, they're playing cornhole. They're our neighbors. They're the ones, they were just little kids at the time. But, you know, if you're going to laugh about it later, you might as well laugh about it now. So it's, you know, love well, laugh often. But then the next point is to look for the miracles. And I really wanted to talk about that today. You know, something that happened, well, I mean, throughout our life, we had so many moments of miracles. I could make, you know, a series of podcasts on just those alone. We've talked about some of them on this show. But we did have a chance. Your dad and I talked about Papa and how my dad, Papa, to you, how when he passed, you know, before he died, he didn't remember that I was an author. He remembered me, but not that I wrote books, and how that was so crushing at the time, but it was also a beautiful thing to go. He never loved me because I was an author, but he loved me because I was his. Mm. And but I reserved the chance to share about the miracles of that season until now. So I want to go back before I talk about his final weeks. What do you remember about Papa?
Papa, he was the most amazing, beautiful soul. And I say it like that because his eyes, he just wore his heart on his sleeve, and his eyes were so sparkly and so happy. And I knew anytime that I would see him, he would stop everything that he's doing, and he would look me right in the eye and give me the biggest hug. Sorry, hold on one second. Hi, honey.
Oh, we're getting some of Kelsey's little baby. See how she stops when you should stop what you're doing. That's who's coming in?
It's Landon.
Oh. Landon, you want to sing the Holy Spirit song?
Yes.
Landon, please do that.
He doesn't have any headphones. No? Can you hear him?
Can we hear? We can hear him. Yep. Okay. So, Landon, you're 4 years old now. You just turned four.
I love Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Yay!
That's beautiful. Yay!
We love
time
Jesus
to go to the social medical fast.
Okay, can you say bye to Grammy?
Bye, Grammy.
And hey, honey. Can you say bye to everyone listening?
Bye, everyone.
Okay, that's so sweet, honey. Love you.
Love you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, first of all, thank you for being that kind of mom who just says there's not, like, this is a conversation, and we are letting everyone join us, and we want them to lean in and listen, but your life is busy and full, and I want your boys one day to be saying, I don't know, mom might have been on a podcast, or she might have been, you know, doing an acting scene or something, or busy with work in some other way, but she had time for us. So thanks for doing that. That was really beautiful.
That was so special.
Aww.
So special. And guess what? That was really another little miracle because Papa, like, hasn't met my babies, but I feel like he has a window, right? Yeah. And there's so much that he has, that Papa had, that I see in my boys, that like obviously spilled into me, into Tyler, into all of us. I mean, Papa loved to perform and he loved to sing and he loved making you feel seen. So it was like there was, you know, so much going on, but he would look you right in the eye and he would be like, I love you, and make you feel like the most important person in the world. And he would show up early to a game or to my dance recital or to my show. And just his constant support in my life. I mean, I just love him so much. And he really, really shaped my childhood and someone who was like the biggest cheerleader for me. And I see his joy and I see his excitement and his love for family traditions that you passed down to me. And now I do that with my boys. And so Papa's very, very special.
Yeah, it's funny. My mom and dad both, you know, were people who wouldn't have missed anything. And they're very different, my mom and dad. My mom's always been so, like, she still answers email, you know, for people write in. Now she's one of the answers.
Graham is amazing.
She's amazing. Yes. And she'll say from Karen's mom, Ann, you know, if she answers a letter like that. But she and my dad were very different. And my dad was the one that had the love of arts and the love of music. And so that moment with Landon is very precious, because I can remember Papa in his final year, he was on dialysis and he knew he didn't have that long, suffering like end stage type 2 diabetes. And you and Tyler would sing, because you were always singing.
Yeah.
And you would sing some song or rehearse some scene you would have in a show coming up. And my Papa would just get tears in his eyes. Like, he would have the same reaction he used to have with me when I would write a story or a short story. Mm. He just would be like, this must be the best thing I've ever seen. That's like how he looked. And I can remember him looking at you and Tyler after you'd finished singing something in the kitchen in Vancouver, Washington. And you were probably 17, maybe Tyler was 14. And he would just shake his head, blink back tears, and he would say, I can't believe God is so good that he allowed me to live long enough to see that. Mm. And that was just his way of looking at life. He just lived in this state of thankfulness and joy that no matter what, he was in pain, no matter that he was in dialysis and he was weak, he didn't care. I mean, he literally was so other-focused that it was like he didn't feel his own sadness and heartache, and all he could see was the joy of what God had given him in that day and how precious
so
that was.
True. Yeah. That is so true.
So because music was so powerful to him, I don't know if you remember when they were still living in California. Eventually they moved to Vancouver, Washington, my mom and dad, so they could be a part of our life and pretty quickly after we moved there. But I remember him calling me when we lived states apart like that and saying, Karen, I have found a song, and this song is everything. This song is exactly how I feel about you and about mom and about all the kids and your kids, my grandkids, because it just says everything. And it was Rod Stewart's song, Have I Told You Lately That I Love You? Mm-hmm. And it was funny because Papa wasn't, you know, he wasn't like a Rod Stewart fan. You know, he was like the old Rugged Cross, you know, or at best Neil Diamond, but he wasn't like really a Rod Stewart fan. But he found that song and he just said, this is exactly how I feel. And we all shared, you know, like he said, tell Donald and tell the kids. And I want everyone to know this is the song. Whenever they hear it, I want them to think about me and how much I love them and how special they are to me and what a great gift that God has given me in my family. So I was like, okay, Dad, that's great. That's awesome. So, you know, along comes this day, and you and me and Tyler were actually in Atlanta at a book event, and Dad was home with the boys, and my dad was, Papa was with Graham, and they were it was a hot day in Washington, unusually hot, like 100 degrees. And, you know, Aunt Trish and her son, your cousin Andrew, lived at home with Graham and Papa. So it was Andrew and Graham and Papa who were home. And Papa was in the lazy boy chair and he just sort of passed out. He just sort of like nodded off. And Andrew, at 12 years old, said, Graham, I think something's wrong with Papa. And, you know, Graham said, no, I think he's just hot. And he said, no, I think something's wrong. I don't think he's breathing. And so Andrew called 911 and they talked him through how to give Papa CPR in a Lazy Boy chair for 14 minutes before the paramedics could get there. And it was just, I mean, the most surreal situation going on there. Meanwhile, we don't know this is even happening. We're in Atlanta. Paramedics arrive, and my dad is, you know, Papa's blue. He's non-responsive and doesn't look like Papa's going to make it. And Andrew goes into the next room and just starts to weep because he feels like it's his fault, like he did something wrong. And about this time, a police officer runs into the house in the midst of all the chaos and runs up to Graham, takes her hands, you know, and says, "Ma'am, do you believe in Jesus?" And he looks right into her eyes. And she says, "Yes, yes, I do. I believe. We all believe, but I don't think my husband's going to make it." And this police officer was unwavering. He just kept his eyes locked on Graham's eyes. And he said, "Then we need to pray that the power that raised Lazarus from the dead would breathe life into your husband right now so that that young man out there does not grow up thinking this was his fault." And as you know, Andrew didn't have a dad in his life. He had Papa, he had your dad. Those are the two men he had in his life. So now he feels like it was his fault. So they pray this beautiful prayer. This police officer is leading the prayer. And when he says, "In Jesus' name, amen," in the next room they yell out, "We have a heartbeat." And just like that, Papa had another chance to live just a little bit longer. And the miracle of that moment, that he got life back and that he got to go to the hospital and ICU, where we got to see him for another 8 weeks. And we would go practically each day. I was there every day. You had school, but we would go just about every day. We'd sing, you know, praise songs around the bed and pray over him. His heart was worn out at that point from that much dialysis. But he was so filled with joy. He couldn't talk. Mm. He had a trach and he had a chalkboard. But one of the songs that we brought, of course, you know, to the hospital was the Rod Stewart song, "Have I Told You Lately That I Love You?" And we would play it, and just nothing was left unsaid. You got to share, you know, photos and things from the show you were on. Tyler had some video clips from the show you were both working on. Like, everything we wanted to say or share, we got to. God gave us this beautiful gift. And we'd just hold hands around the bed and lean in, and we would just play that Rod Stewart song, "Have I Told You Lately That I Love You?" And just, you know, he wouldn't stop smiling, but a slow tear or two would just streak down his cheek. And then, you know, the time came and he passed, and we just knew that he was rejoicing and he was in heaven and he was whole. And on his tombstone, we had the words engraved, "Have I told you lately that I love you?" Because it was that powerful of a song. And then, you know, Graham needed to find that police officer. She had written down his name and his badge number, and it was time to go and find him and thank him. And we all agreed, like, how differently things would have turned out if he hadn't walked into the house and just at that moment and prayed with Graham.
Yeah.
So she called, and she was passed from one person to the next. And finally, she's talking to the head of personnel, and she had his name. She had the officer's name and the officer's badge number. And this personnel guy gets on. He goes, "You know, ma'am, I'm in charge of personnel. I know everybody we've ever hired. And we have never hired an officer by that name, and we have never assigned that badge number to anyone." And do you remember finding out about that back then?
Yeah, but it still will give me full body chills, because it's like, so wait, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we know in the Bible, it says, be careful, for some of you have entertained angels when you think that they're strangers, but they're angels.
Right. Hebrews 13. Yeah.
Yep. And it is one of those miracle moments that is a huge miracle moment. And it just, like, it just brings tears to my eyes because the kindness of God in that moment, right? To give Graham someone tangible to talk about the name of Jesus in that moment, and for Andrew. And then the fact that we got those 8 weeks with Papa is just such a gift from God, truly.
Really is. And, you know, for people like who are listening or whatnot, I mean, angels are very real. They're very much God's soldiers, His mm-hmm. army. It's never about them. It's always about the message or the act that they're called to do. They're working on his behalf, and often I think we would miss it. And that's why I encourage people to look for the miracles, because truly it's tempting for us to think that life is about decisions and deadlines and dishes, and it's not. It's about so much more, and it's about the delight of the Lord and how he loves us so much that he would actually bring an angel into your moment like that to change all of eternity. I can't imagine what that would have done to Andrew if that had gone differently. And the way that it turned out, the fact that he then went on to Liberty University and has a family of his own now, and we'll never forget that moment. I mean, we'll never forget it. Yeah. But after that, you know, it was now weeks after losing Papa, and it was still sad. And I was found myself being like, I didn't know you could cry that much, you know, just missing him so much. I had hope. It wasn't that I was without hope, of course, but I was sad. And I think when you lose someone that you love that much, just like you're losing your arm, you're always going to be different because of it, but you're not going to be without hope. You still have that with Jesus, and in a beautiful way. But I think it was probably Austin's baseball game where it first happened. We went to the game. Papa would never have missed a game. And Austin was maybe, 12 at that time. And Austin was a home run hitter. I mean, that's just what he did. And Papa would be there watching. And now he was weaker that last year. So he would sometimes watch from his car. He and Graham would sit up there on the hill. But he caught every home run. Like, he was aware of all the home runs that Austin hit. And he'd give him a dollar for each home run and just praise him up and down. And this was the first time we would be at a baseball game without Papa. You know, Papa went to the practices. He was, like you said, he was at rehearsals. He was at tryouts. He was everywhere.
Everything,
And we watched the game, and there's just this sadness. And I remember Austin cried before he even, you know, got to the ballpark that day, because he just couldn't believe that Papa wouldn't be there. And I said, you know, let's just believe that Papa has a window, because Hebrews 12 talks about how we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And let's just believe that Papa knows what to pray for today for you. And so
it was so, gosh, there were so many
real moments. I mean, just really special and real moments during that time. And as we go to leave that day, and Austin has hit a home run, and he wanted me to write on the ball for Papa. And we still have that. That's in our bookcase right now. That home run ball that we have for Papa, and the date is in our bookcase. And anyway, so we go to leave, and we're not out of the parking lot. We turn the radio on, and on comes Rod Stewart's song, "Have I Told You Lately That I Love You?" And it was like, what? Like, I remember just sort of stopping and like, what do we do with this? Like,
The whole car was like, okay. I mean, normally we would be hearing like Christian or like country radio it was just like one of those. And the whole car was silent. And I think we all listened with like a smile and then just like tears just streaming down our faces.
Yeah, it was just, it was crazy. And so then I think a few weeks later, you and Tyler were performing in High School Musical, and it was, you were a senior. Yeah, because it was the last show that you and Tyler were going to do.
It was going to be my last show, yes.
Yeah. And that would have been heartbreaking alone for Papa, because he just loved watching you all perform. I mean, he thought it was the best thing. So again, you know, opening night, Papa's not there. Everyone at Christian Youth Theater, you know, you had a task to do or a chore. So there's work, and then there's conversations. And finally, you know, it feels like it's so late. Now we're finally making our way out to the car. We get in the car. We turn on the radio. And this is like now closing in on like November. So now you're starting to think, usually you'd be hearing more Christmas songs, that kind of thing. Not a 1970s song, you know, not at this point. But we turn on the car, and the same thing. We do not get to the edge of the parking lot, and Rod Stewart's song comes on. And Tyler actually said, you know, I think you should turn it. It's so sad. I don't think I can hear that right now. And I said, Tyler, I'm going to turn it up. I'm not going to turn it. I'm going to turn it up, because I really believe that God has got a message for us. And this is it's not a coincidence. And that he wants us to know Papa is happy. He's whole. He's okay. He's praying for us. And that Papa's aware of what tonight was and what it meant to you. So we turned it up, and we sang along and through our tears. But then it began to happen at like all the time. It was so wild.
It was crazy.
One, I remember we took a trip to the Bahamas. It was our first trip that we'd taken that was like to a kind of a really nice beach. We brought Graham and Aunt Trish, and just we had a whole group with us. And we had, you know, we'd gotten checked in, and, you know, it takes time for all the steps, and gotten our groceries and got ourselves up the elevator. And now we're in the room, and it's this beautiful, gorgeous view of the ocean and the hotel grounds and whatnot. And so we step out onto the balcony, and it's a big balcony. So all of us are out there, and we're just like, wow, it's so beautiful. And down by the pool, the Bahamian band begins to play Rod Stewart's "Have I Told You Lately That I Love You?" And I'm looking at you and at Graham and at Dad, and I'm like, do you hear that? Because honestly, I make things up for a living. So I need to... You know, it's like,
oh my word.
Like, please tell me this is actually happening, because
That was crazy. That was so crazy. Because it's like, that's not like a typical, like, you arrived on the island, you're on vacation, like, da 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 da. And we're like, wait, what? And all of us were like, okay, you're hearing this, right? And then you were like, guys, please, just everyone tell me that you're hearing this right now. It was so crazy.
It was. But, you know, and listening, you may be going, like, I can relate to this, because for me, it's that red robin that sits on my fence, or it's the way the clouds look on a certain day, or the way the wind blows, and I'm back again in that moment with that person that I've lost and that I love. And I do believe with all my heart that God uses these sorts of moments to remind us that He is with us, that we're not alone in our grief, and we don't walk this this journey of life without the absolute presence of the Lord when our hearts are broken. Mm-hmm. There was the first time that we had a movie that was made on one of my books, and it was that day we were having a party at our house to watch it, and it was one of the Hallmark movies, and we stopped for gas after church, and that movie, that song, "Have I Told You Lately That I Love You," comes on. Yeah. Or you and I getting our nails done. And this is now after you were married, obviously. Papa didn't get to meet Kyle. That's one of my saddest things, is that they never met. He would love Kyle, and I'm sure he does love Kyle.
Yeah.
But we were getting our nails done, and it was your due date for Hudson, your first baby.
Yeah.
And you were having contractions, like early contractions. And we're in this is at the nail salon, where it's usually some sort of, you know, pop mix going on or something. And what happens?
"Have I told you lately that I love you?" And we just look at each other. And we grab hands, and same, tears.
Yeah.
And it is that, for us, it's been that tangible reminder, like you said, that you are not alone in your grief. God sees you. God is a big God, but He's also a small, close God in the details.
Yeah.
He is so, so great, and He's greater than what we could ever ask or imagine, and His love is so big. But He is so near, and He's so close in these details of our hearts and through our grief. And it's like that song has ministered to us, because it's been that tangible reminder of Papa's love for us and God seeing us in those moments.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I often say, I don't get it. I don't get it, but I'll take it.
Yep.
Because it's absolutely a comfort. And I feel my dad is so close. The Papa's so close right then. Mm-hmm. And so then we go to New York City to celebrate the release of one of my books when I signed the deal with Simon & Schuster.
Yes. And that was such a big trip. That was like the biggest trip. I mean, thus far of your entire career. I mean, it was a huge moment.
Yeah, Simon & Schuster invited me to the top floor of the building, and this is before COVID, so people worked in offices, and New York City was fun, and it was just like, we had gone around and looked at Rockefeller Center, and, you know, the Simon & Schuster building is right there in the middle of all of the excitement of downtown New York City. And you and Kyle found something else to do. By now you're married, and you found something to do while I had this meeting, but my books were kind of the main topic that day. They were celebrating my books and me as an author. And, you know, I could think that day going into the building how Papa used to say, "Karen, one day everyone is going to know your work. Somebody has to be the next best-selling author. I think it's going to be you." And on that day, when I came into the building, you know, there were these, you know, books were all, my books were filling the glass case that kind of circles the lobby. And the back of the book was my face. So it was like my face and then the cover of the book and then the back of the book. So
I mean, like, these massive, like golden glass, like huge, like display cases.
Yeah.
And we all walk in the middle of the hustle and the bustle of New York City. And there are all of your books and your face. Yeah. And it's just like,
yeah, it
okay.
was just everywhere.
It was just one of those moments.
Yeah,
yes.
Definitely a moment. So I go upstairs, I have the meeting, and the president of the company tells me, hey, I don't know what you're doing today, but the Highline Park down in Lower Manhattan, that is a beautiful place. You should go check it out. There's a new garden and walkway that runs, you know, about a block, and it's about 25, 30 feet up off the ground, and it's kind of goes several city blocks, and you'd really love it. That wasn't our plan. I'd never heard of the Highline Park. But when the meeting was over and when we had just, you know, when everything had just gone so well and I felt that pleasure of the Lord that I was doing what I was supposed to do and touching the lives here of people who were not believers for the most part, but they were finding something different about my books and they were drawn to them and they were drawn to the Holy Spirit in the stories that God has given me to write. So I go downstairs and there's this security guard in the lobby and he sees me coming and he looks at me and then he looks at the bookcases and then back at me, back at the display. He's like, hey, he goes, that's you. And, you know, you and Kyle were about to come in, pull up with a cab. So, you know, we were going to meet. But at this point, I'm by myself. And the security guard notices, he's like, hey, you know, hey. I said, yeah, that's me. And he kind of gets this proud kind of dad look on his face. And he says, well, look at that. You made it. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I thanked him. I was trying to not break down and start crying. But I thought, you know, if I could just call heaven, like I just wanted to just call. I wanted to pick up the phone and just say, Dad, you were right. Like if God has allowed this to happen now. And I just knew it would have made his day more than mine, you know. So we got outside on the sidewalk and it's loud and it's New York City. And of course, I'm not going to hear Rod Stewart's song at that point. But you and Kyle pull up in a cab. It's like pre-Uber. And I get in the cab. I tell you about how I'm really, really, really missing Papa and how the meeting went great. And I remember you took my hands, Kelsey, and you just said, I miss him too. Mm-hmm. And we had this little moment. And then I said, well, hey, you know, if we don't really have anything else to do, let's go check out this Highline Park. So we told the driver and asked if we could change our plans. And he said, sure. So he drives us down there. And
we love being like adventurous. So we're like, oh, that sounds amazing.
Why not? Let's go. Yeah. Let's do it. So we get down to Highline Park in Lower Manhattan, and I feel like there were just a lot of things. Like we went and found a coffee shop, maybe a restroom.
Yeah.
I think Kyle lost his wallet for a minute or two.
Yes, yeah, cool, because like Chelsea Market's there, so then we did some shopping, and then Kyle did lose his wallet. That was a whole thing. Like when you go to the city, like you probably like lose something. It was like a whole episode. But yeah, so then Chelsea Market is like right by the Highline. So then we made our way up to the Highline. It's so pretty up there.
Yeah, it was amazing. So we start taking pictures. We had this thing that, you know, this archaic thing that you'll find in a museum today called a camera. So not, you know,
which some people are bringing back and I love it. It's like the actual digital camera.
Nice.
So you can take it or the real camera and people are doing film. But yeah, you're right. So we had a real camera.
Real camera. And yep. I take a picture of you and Kyle. Beautiful. We have the Hudson River spread out behind you and all these beautiful plants and flowers. And then he took a picture of you and me. But now we're trying to get a selfie. And when you can't see yourself, it's like we were getting like foreheads and chins, I feel, on that day. And this gentleman and you know, and woman, this couple were walking toward us, and it wasn't very crowded. There were hardly any people up there on the Highline.
Yeah, I feel like the Highline now is more like, you know, bussing. But
yeah.
I feel like back then, I don't know, but people were just kind of strolling. It was just, it just felt like a movie moment, you know?
Yeah, exactly. There was hardly anybody, just very, just scenic in a way.
Yeah.
So he walks up, he sees we're trying to get this picture, and he said, well, I can take that picture for you. And I said, wow, thank you so much. I mean, you know, it's not like New York City, you aren't really expecting that.
So you popped around
and you showed him how to use the camera.
Yeah.
And I don't know much more about that moment. In the moment, I didn't hear your conversation with the gentleman. But he takes the picture, and then he steps back and he kind of like looks at it. Like he looked at it for a beat, and then he looked at us. And his eyes were really sweet. And he said, that is a lovely photo. And we said, wow, thank you so much. Like, you know, more than kind. Take the picture and then compliment it. Very nice. So he hands the camera back and he and the woman walk on their way. And then you grab my arm like, Mom, You're like,
because I said, well, first of all, I was like, do you know who that is? And then you were like, this like
hipster,
good looking older hipster guy.
Yeah, like I don't know him.
Obviously, he was like trendy. Like
he looked trendy.
And then I said, okay, but did you hear what he said to me when I showed him the camera? And you said, no, I was just ready for my picture. And I said, he said, huh, I'm often on the other side of these things, but this is fun. And then he snaps the picture, and I'm like, haha. And I knew when I was taking the picture with you who was taking our picture. So then I'm like, so do you know who that is now? And then you go,
no idea. And you said, Mom.
I said, Mom, that's Rod Stewart. That is him. And you were like,
shocked. I was like, what?
Are you serious? Really? Really? And I said, yes. I said, we have to go talk to him, or you do, or I will, or someone. But that for sure was Rod Stewart.
So now I begin to walk as quickly as I can without looking like an entirely crazy person. And I'm hustling my way as fast as, sir, sir, sir. And he's like turning around like, oh, is she having an episode or what's wrong? And I caught up to him, and he put his hand on my arm like he was concerned for me. And I put my hand on his arm. I said, sir, are you Rod Stewart?
And he's probably like, looking around like, I don't really want to sign autographs for like 2 hours right now.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
And he kind of gets a little concerned. Like he goes, yes, I am. I'm actually in town for my book tour. Well, you know, I didn't tell him who I was. It was the last thing on my mind. I said, sir, can I tell you about my dad? By now, you and Kyle are coming up, and you're standing like probably 5-6 feet away, and you're listening to this conversation. And he said, please do. And I told him how much the song Have I Told You Lately That I Love You mattered, and how it was engraved on my dad's tombstone, and how much it meant to me, and how I had, you know, just had a day where I was really missing him. And now to see Rod, and Rod gets tears in his eyes. He puts his hands together like a prayer hands, and he lifts them up, and he looks up at heaven. And then he looks at me, and he says, you will never know how much I needed to hear that today.
It's so,
just
so sweet.
I get chill. Like, it's just bigger than we could imagine.
Me too. Because it's just that. It's that beautiful human interaction from a person to a person. It doesn't matter in that moment what your jobs are or how famous or what your career is. It's someone taking the time to tell someone else, hey, that song has meant the world to us. And he poured his heart and soul into that song, right?
Yeah.
So then think about his life and his own personal story.
Yeah.
And then think about you, Mom, and you pouring your heart into these stories that God gives you that then go on to touch other people. And they bring people together, and they may find, you know, encouragement and bonding moments and like lasting memories by reading your books. And that's what his song did for you and for all of us. And by sharing that human moment and that beautiful experience of just looking at someone and saying, can I share about my dad? Can I tell you thank you? Can I tell you how much that meant to me? Can I tell you that I love you? Can I give you a hug? It's those moments that like that story will always bring me to tears, because it was like one of the most beautiful stories.
And that's what Rod Stewart said next. He said, can I give you a hug?
Uh-huh.
So on the day when I'm missing my dad and I can't call heaven and I'm not going to hear of a song, I get Rod Stewart giving me a hug. And, you know, later on, the Today Show heard about this and they wanted to do a story about it, as you know. And, you know, they said, well, we really want to do a story, but he could have just been an old hipster, honestly. Like, well, he might have just been, who knows, was that really Rod Stewart? So they called him and he said, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember
that was
it.
And he
got on the show and he joined us on the show, like, on the simulcast. He phoned in and he said, I stand by, you'll never know how much I needed to hear that day, but I didn't know you were an author. And now I have your books. Like, what in the world? I it is just so important as you go through life. Love well, laugh often, look for the miracles, and live your life for Jesus. So if you're living your life for Jesus, you're going to love God and you're going to love people, and you're going to make time for moments like that so you can see what exactly it is that God is doing around you, the miracles that are playing out everywhere in your midst. And I think that sort of marks our life. You know, it marks the life that we've been so blessed to be able to live. And, you know, we still hear it now. Of course, I was on that cruise a few weeks ago that I was on a cruise for Women of Joy. And Austin went with me on that as my road manager. And we were hustling from one thing to the next, trying to get to an event. And the cover band on the ship played Have I Told You Lately That I Love You. So it doesn't stop. God is always wanting us to know that it's okay. This is just earth. And he's got so much love for us and so many beautiful ways of showing it. If only we would have our eyes and our hearts open to look. So thank you, Kelsey, for letting us go through that again, that beautiful story. I think the miracle that we're living right now is the making of this movie that that we've been able, so blessed to make, and now is going to be, you know, in theaters in just a few weeks, someone like you. You know, if you don't have your tickets yet, we're only guaranteed to have this movie in theaters for 10 days. And so make sure you get your tickets at someonelikeyou.movie and take your family and friends, because this movie has miracle stories in it as well. And it will touch your heart. You know, true stories like this do. And I would also encourage you, you know, listening to this, if you have a miracle story, I know you do. You whoever you are, as you're listening to this, I can practically see you. And right now you're thinking, oh, yeah, there was that one time when this happened or when I, you know, that happened. I would encourage you to share those stories. We tell these stories at dinners. You know, when we when our family sits down, we remember these moments. We talk about the miracles, and there's so many more that don't have to do with Rod Stewart. But there's so many miracle stories in our family and how God just orchestrates things that we stand there and we say, how could this have happened? Like, what are the odds? And there's no odds. It's just what God is. He's at work. He's working miracles in our lives, and it's up to us to be looking for it.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think on that note, Kels, what advice would you have for people who are maybe in a hard season and don't feel like they are seeing miracles? What would you tell them?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, I don't know how one can journey through life without God. So I think that if you're listening to this and you don't know about God or Jesus is not your savior, I just want to personally, as your new friend or maybe your old friend, if you've been following along our family, I just want to invite you into this relationship with Jesus, because he knows everything about you and he loves you more than anyone ever could. So if you're feeling like you're being left out or you're being rejected or someone is not seeing the hard work that you're putting in, or you're feeling lonely or you're feeling like miracles aren't happening to you, Jesus is right there for you. And so that's just the first thing that I like to tell people, because for me, I don't know how I would live this life without the love of God and without the truth of Jesus in my life as my savior. So when you have those days where you are struggling and it is a harder day to find the joy, I like to tell people, it's not that you slap on like a fake smile, but it's when you walk this life with Jesus, that that joy is so deeply rooted in your heart that it does spill out. So yes, that might mean that you have a day where you're crying or you are feeling alone, but deep, deep down in your heart, you have the joy of Jesus because you have the hope that he offers. Only he can offer it, and the world cannot offer that. So when you're going about your day and you're thinking about miracles or angels, that's all because of the love of God, right? So God made you and he sees you. So number one, I would just say, give your heart fully to Jesus and live for him, and watch how, because of that, no, life is not going to be perfect, but you will see miracles and you will see joy in your heart that you didn't know you could turn an ordinary day into an extraordinary day, right? When you wake up and you walk outside and you take a deep breath and you hear the birds, right? And you hear them chirping and you see the sky, how could you not feel loved or seen by God? And for me, it's practicing and living out that daily joy and that gratitude that only comes when you're rooted in Jesus.
Can I just tell you how proud I am of you, that you are my daughter is one of the greatest gifts God's ever given me. And this time with you on the podcast will live forever and will always be a just beautiful, beautiful gift in my heart. So thank you for sharing and for being so vulnerable. And in the episodes that we just have had recently, where you and Kyle, and then with Candace and Natasha, and you just, you are a light. for Christ, Kels. And I'm so, so honored to be your mom. And I just really want to say that.
Thank you. And so, I love you so much.
I love you, honey. Mm. Best friend. Mm-hmm. And would you close us today in prayer?
Yes.
Okay.
I would love that. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for this beautiful conversation. Just reliving all of the miracles that you have given us. Mm. Thank you for the gift of your love and your salvation and the light that you bring to each of us every single day. We cannot face this world without you, Jesus. Life is a journey, and there's days where it feels alone or it's more of a battle type of a day. But Jesus, you see that, and you are in the trenches with us.
Yes.
You are in the laughter with us. You are in the love. You are in the miracles, Jesus. And I just pray for anyone listening right now that you will bless them with a miracle that only you can do, Jesus, in their life. Whether it be an extra smile from somebody, or a hug, or a handwritten note, or just a personal nod that only they will know that they're seen by you, Jesus. Thank you so much for this beautiful time with my beautiful mom. I am so excited for someone like you. Thank you, Jesus, for the movie. Thank you for this conversation. And thank you for your love in our life. And we thank you for the everyday miracles and for getting up and seeing a sunrise or a sunset or hearing the little birdies chirp and praise your name, Jesus. Help our hearts to be full of deep-rooted joy and love that comes from you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, honey. That is so, so beautiful. And I think you really touched somebody who was listening today. Now, next week, I will have my friend and your friend, Kels, our family friend, Shalene Bryan, who's a movie producer, and she has skip1.org. And she's going to join me as we talk about another emotion, and that's laughter. Our favorite part of Proverbs 31 is she's the woman who laughs at the days ahead. So I'm sure you'll be listening with that as well, because you've been part of a lot of those laughs. But thanks again for being with us today. And thanks so much, honey, for your love for everyone that you come across and for your beautiful prayer today.
I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. Someone Like You is the best movie ever. I have to say it, and I'll continue to say it forever. It's so good, and I cannot wait for everyone to see it.
Oh, thank you. It's going to be so fun. It's coming right up.
I know.